right, happy Memorial Day weekend. Coming up, we're going to be talking Cubs right out of the gate. We just got done watching their game one against the Brewers, another disaster. So we're not too happy about the Cubbies' performance as of late. Then we're going to jump to the NBA playoffs, where Uncle Clint is ready to fire on us with his Mavericks prediction. We know that's coming. Then we're going to close with a few thoughts on the great Bill Walton. So without further ado, it's the Sports Life. We're talking sports. Let's go. All right, I'll kick us off with some Cubby talk. I don't want to talk too much about them today. I want to spend a little more time on NBA because it's hard to watch right now. Teams go through this sometimes during a season, and you don't know how long it's going to last. But this is an ultimate offensive lull right now, and it's brutal.
The bad part about it is that the whole team is in an offensive slump. It's not like just two or three guys are down, and then the rest of the guys are picking them up. From top to bottom, our whole team is not hitting right now. And we wasted a great effort today by Steele. He went 7 innings, no earned runs, 8 strikeouts, and a walk. I mean, you gotta give your starting pitching a win when you have a performance like that. We gotta do a better
job. With these type of performances, I don't think we'll see Verlander, if he wants to get to 300 wins, come to the Cubs, because the Cubs are not going to give Verlander any run support.
Yeah, I don't think this is a landing spot for the Verlander 300 win club. I think that Los Angeles Dodgers would be a front running candidate there if he's looking to make a change.
I
think the Braves are going to get him.
Team like that, any of those teams.
The Braves already got Acuña and Strider out.
Yeah, the Braves took a major shot this year, obviously, with Strider, who I think was going to have a Cy Young type of season. Acuña going out now. And Acuña, I mean, the Braves are really going to go into next year really worried about Acuña, given the fact that he was having a terrible year. I mean, he wasn't coming out of it. He was swinging through a lot of fastballs. And it was just looking like...
not very good defense. He dropped a couple easy fly balls.
It's amazing that you go from 40-70, and then it's like your next year you can't, like, do anything.
Baseball is a tricky game, and when we're looking at this Cubs lineup, you know, Morel dropped down below the Mendoza line today. He's now at
240.
He's down at 198. We've always put it at 200. Didn't we always put it at 200?
220.
All right, we got one. Caden's on the board with a microphone down. Caden, slide it down.
One microphone.
There's one. Let's start the tally. Here we go. I can't believe he hasn't figured that out.
He drops the microphone more times than Boston beats Dallas in the finals.
I think he might get nervous talking to you about what might be coming on the finals. Caden, you might see the microphone get dropped.
He's already switched three teams. He started with Denver and then Minnesota. Now he's going to Boston. I'm still with my original team.
The Cubs have fallen to 500 right now. They're 27-27. Their best average on the team from everyday players is Horner at 264. Suzuki has been awful since he came back, and that's hard for me because I think Suzuki, in my opinion, has to be their best hitter. I just think that's what they need to get from him to be successful, and he hasn't had it, and he's down to 250.
The one thing I don't understand is when Horner was batting leadoff, the guy was hitting like 470, and then Council puts him back down 5th, 7th, 6th.
Well, I think with
I don't know what they're doing that for. Well, the guy bat first.
Well, he was batting down in the order because he was struggling when he came back from injury.
I know, but you do.
And Talkman, he's been putting up some good at-bats up at leadoff, but he's not getting on base.
If you're going to be the type of manager that's going to search for something that works, when you find something working, you got to
roll with it. He's got to search for something right now. He's got to mix up the lineup because we're not hitting.
What I'm saying is,
Nico's doing good at leadoff, but if we're not hitting, then I don't really care if Nico's doing good. I've got to worry about this offense doing good.
No, but I'm saying when something is working, you should stick with it. If you think Nico's working, there's two. There's two. I mean, he's really rolling
today. Let me show you.
Let me show you.
Where's the genius at so we can get the microphone there correctly?
All right.
Fixed. Now there'll be no more microphone problems.
Hopefully. Goodness. But anyway, the offense performing this way, and then now they've been able to bank on Leiter coming in against lefties.
He's been struggling.
Well, this is two games in a row now where they're bringing him in.
Well, Magical should have made that play.
100%. But let's just talk about this. I'm not down on Leiter. He's not going to come in for a full season and get everybody out. I mean, it's just ridiculous to think that he's just going to keep coming in. I mean, I think he was 20 innings, 2 earned runs. That was where he was.
Our closer's going to be iffy next time he gets in there. He ain't seen the mound in a closing
Neuris hasn't been
in about 6 games.
No, he hasn't had any action. I mean, we've lost 5 games in a row.
In Pittsburgh. I think this is the last time. He pitched against Atlanta, I think.
Every time I turn on a Cubs game, it's the 4th inning and they got no hits. I mean, they don't get a hit in these games until the 5th inning.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. Not bad in the later innings, but one thing I've noticed, in the scoreless games when it's 0-0, the Cubs usually have more hits than the other teams. The other team just gets the more clutch of hits.
I will say something about Tachman, too. He puts together some quality at-bats. He doesn't get a lot out of them, but I mean, he makes the pitcher throw
Tachman's
seven.
More traditional.
It reminds you of the old 2016 team that works the pitchers. He works them.
Yeah, Tachman's the more traditional leadoff hitter, but Horner, I feel like you got a better shot getting on base when you put Nico Horner up there. But I also feel like I kind of like him better in the middle, but Tachman back up there because Nico's going to be in more tough situations with runners in scoring position, and that's where we've kind of sucked with our runners in scoring position.
I want to look up where our offense ranks league-wide through 54 games.
It's got to be 29th or 30th. It's got to be.
It's got to be way down, considering that our starting pitching has been consistently phenomenal.
We got two guys. The top
we do have to talk
ERA.
About what happened
what
with Shota.
The deal?
I don't understand.
Shota back another 5 days. Well, what is Council's?
He said that Shota wanted to have that.
Yeah. I don't understand how you have him ready to pitch a game. It gets rain delayed and then postponed.
Next game he should be pitching.
And then if he's not pitching the next game, he should be pitching the game after that. Yeah, maybe they might take him and give him a day because he got warmed up and all that. Give him one day, but this is now
he's going all the way to Wednesday.
Going like almost a full week. I don't understand. I mean, you got a guy that doesn't give up any runs, and you have a team that doesn't score any runs. He's the guy you need pitching.
Well, I mean, you're talking about. I think it's the good idea if you're having Shota not pitching till Monday. I expected him to pitch Monday. He did it, but I mean, Justin Steele pitched. He kind of filled in his spot really well.
He's not going to pitch. Yeah, they said Wednesday today he's not going to pitch till that's like 10 days off almost. I mean,
pitched like last two Saturdays ago. I mean, no.
Steele looks like he's starting to find it. I mean, you could see it now. He guys need a little time back. He's not.
I don't think he was 100%.
Again, I know none of our guys are hitting, and that's not going to go for the whole year. But you got to have a consistent batting order. The last three Cubs managers have not had enough sense to put a consistent batting order.
What do you mean?
Top to bottom. You can't keep switching guys around. Even Joe Maddon always jostled the lineup around. He never kept a consistent lineup in there.
Well, if someone's hot and then the bottom of the order.
Joe Maddon was non-traditional with that kind of stuff, but he had a good clubhouse.
Right.
I mean, he had guys that really liked playing together, right. Believed in each other. They weren't going to be, I batted first. Why ain't I batting? They just all seemed to like what was happening because they were winning.
They worked. They won the World Series.
And they didn't just win the World Series. That team had a lot of success for basically 4 years.
Right.
I mean, the Cubs were in the mix, which as a Cubs fan is what you want. They were in the mix for 4 consecutive seasons. Mm-hmm. So we're good with that. But, each manager's kind of got their own thing. But here, when you're paying a guy, whatever they're paying him, how many million dollars a year, $8 million a year or something like that, a good manager is only going to get you, we'll say, 6 to 10 wins in a season. We're not seeing any of those yet.
But he never takes any heat when his team ain't performing either. It always goes back to the players or the pitchers. They always make up excuses for the manager.
Nothing he did wrong today was Council's fault. He put it in Leiter, and that's the right idea, especially when it's a 0-0 game. Leiter's been so good, and he's the right call.
He's the guy you want.
A hit. You can't put in Neuris because Neuris is our closer.
I wouldn't have used Leiter today after what I saw him do in St. Louis where he got roughed up. He's probably hitting a bad spell here. He probably should have went with another pitcher.
Yeah, but who?
When you bring in a guy like Council, is he bringing in, did they do a full sweep, new hitting coach, everything, or did they keep? Because that's something, when it comes to hitting, is if you're going to be anemic like this has been.
It's pretty anemic.
The question is, we're also not working anybody. So if a pitcher's really working you, well, at least try to get him out of there in 5 or 6, meaning you're working deep into counts, you're forcing long at-bats. Not doing any of that. I mean, guys are going deep.
Yeah, this
the Braves guy went the distance on us.
This rookie that they had. He made his debut in May. This guy, he throws like his breaking ball is not good. His stuff is not good. Some of the Cubs are just missing.
These pitchers that we're facing are going deep on us. Freed went 9 innings against us. Then the next day, we lost 3-0 to the Braves. Obviously, you know, not putting up much there. And they had a guy, you know, this rookie, he went 4 innings or whatever. But, I mean, these are guys you're supposed to be hitting. You get a guy called A. Smith Shower or whatever his name is. It's like a bullpen day for him, and they end up going, oh, you know, let's leave this guy in there because they can't hit him either. It just, we have not been able to generate anything against anyone. And we're now back to .500, and we're the Cardinals, basically. And now we're playing big division series here. We had Pirates. Now Cardinals just took care of us.
It looked like my 83-win prediction at the beginning of the year was going to be low, but I'm probably going to be pretty close to being right on the money. I just can't see, unless they make some serious changes here. I think the latter part of
they got they got to get Trevor Bauer.
Here's a question.
I don't think they need starting pitching. They need some more sticks.
Here's a question for you though. Is this? I'm not scared of the NL Central. I mean, I think it's a bunch of mediocre teams, including the Cubs. I don't think this Brewer team can hang on to this. I think they're also going to be 85-win team.
No, that team that performs well, they perform in timely moments, and they got great coaching. Their coaching is great.
They had the best manager in baseball last year.
I think that
supposedly everybody on the radio and everything says that Craig Counsell is the best manager in baseball.
Bruce Bochy.
I think they're all nuts as far as I'm concerned.
I think this team falls off. I think the Brewers fall off. I think it ends up being a really tight race like what you just said. I thought the Cubs were going to get to 90 games. Doesn't look like it now. I think you're going to see maybe three teams in the mix in that 82 to 86 range.
I think Milwaukee gets to 90. They're pretty good.
I don't think so. I think they're going to fall apart. I think they're like, you know how, who was like the Rays started on fire last year with 20 wins or whatever. I think the Royals have had a couple really hot starts.
Hopefully your guys' baseball predictions are better than your basketball.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Hey, if you pick two teams for the finals and one of them makes it, it's not as good as both, but it's not bad. It's not bad.
The Timberwolves are coming back. They're forcing games.
You want to jump? You want to jump already?
I just want to say
something. I don't have much more to say about the Cubs. I'm disappointed.
Well, I mean, I just don't like this lineup. I just feel like it's just too spread out. They got the top of the order.
There's no changes to make. There's no good hitters. The whole lineup.
Well, I mean, when you look at
Horner let off today. Horner let off.
He did. Did he get any hits at all?
Horner's got the highest on base percentage on the team with .353. I mean, Shohei's hitting.
I think this team is ready. I think they're going to win 3 in a row because I just feel like they got a lot of guys who are struggling and they are due. And if they can get a couple good games going, there's going to be a lot of people hot at the right time. I'm a little concerned about that because at the end of the day, when they have that, it might be going up and down with the same guys are going to be red hot or not.
We got to get a part of the order hot here. I mean, right now our whole lineup's dead.
Well, I mean, when you don't have anybody.
I've heard all of you guys from day one. We had Schumacher on here, Caden, yourself, everybody talking about this bullpen. I've been saying the whole time, our offense is not good.
Yes.
And it's.
Our middle relief isn't very good either, though.
But you can. When you have good starting pitching.
Our bullpen.
And some hitting. You should be able to win 90 games in a season. You should be able to get there. You can get, you know, you can have your middle relief give up a couple runs here and there type of thing. But you can't have your middle relief give up any runs when you can't score any runs.
Yeah, like I said, I feel like
right now you have still no 7.
You look at the starting pitching and you look at the bullpen and your continuous pitching, knowing that, even in your head, knowing that if you're going to give up a run, that the game is basically over, that's hard to pitch with. Now, if you're pitching with,
you're right.
You can give up a couple runs or maybe where you got some insurance. It's a little easier, but I mean, I feel like the Cubs, they score runs where it doesn't matter.
It's
the Cubs
also
down 5-0 in the 9th, and now they score. But they had first and second, and they at first and second.
St. Louis in those two games, they didn't score runs till 9th.
Right, too little, too late.
The later innings are actually putting up better at bats, but it's too late now. They can't jump out ahead, but if they can. I think that's when they can start getting some confidence, but they're just not.
Also, look how highlighted the play gets to Madrigal. You know what I mean? The reason that's highlighted is because you're in a 0-0 game, in the eighth inning. If you're generating any runs, you can get away with an error.
And you've been putting him in almost a whole year for defensive specialist at the end of these ball games.
Yeah,
and he's that coming into
was a hard hit ball, and that should have been a double play.
That was a routine play.
That was a hard.
I mean, what I'm saying, it hard hit. Hard hit means they could have turned. Was that 103
off the bat? 103.
I'm saying, but that thing could have got turned quick. Then that was. I mean, that was there to be. That was made to be turned. Second to first and finish it off. And like I said, it turns into a run, nobody out.
And a three-run homer after that.
And, yep, and I mean,
Wesnecki's he's always been a guy that's been phenomenal. All
he has year, been good. I actually like him.
I think in situations like that, I think Wesnecki, if he comes into games, it's got to be he's a guy that he's way better when it's nobody out in the top of inning. If he comes in with runners on base, he just doesn't pitch well. If you're Craig Counsell, you gotta know the guy's weaknesses and the guy's strengths.
We need to go back and get Pedro Strop again.
Yeah, we need some.
Is he even retired?
I'll tell you, I think there are enough guys in the middle relief on this team where you can make do if you're getting some production out of your offense.
I think
they got Leiter. They got Wesnecki. They got Neeris.
Just think about it. They
got some guys in the middle that
I really
can
believe
pitch.
That this Cubs team, when you look at the injuries
Hendricks.
We have, so we got this is the bullpen. When everybody's healthy, it's going to be Leiter, Neeris, Albert Alzole.
Get him out. Don't even mention that.
I got to say.
Yensi Almonte, Drew Smyly, Ben Brown,
Smiley's
Kyle
good.
Hendricks.
Brown's been good.
Hendricks. They got that Tyson Miller. He's been pitching phenomenal.
Dude,
they got
the weapons.
Nine guys.
They can piece right now. It's hard to piece that.
No,
leave
him out for the year.
He might.
Dude, Leiter went a long time with they put him in a game when they were like way down because they just needed to get him some work. I mean, so the middle relief is, you know, they haven't even needed to piece it together to win games because they're losing so much.
I think we need to shake things up and fire the hitting coach.
We need to start working some counts. I mean, they're not working counts. It's like I say, it's hard to watch. There's no hits. They're not generating anything. I mean, and if you're not going to get hits, draw some walks, get some bunts down, do something.
Guys on first and second with no outs and you can't score, you should automatically, as a manager, be laying down a punt. Automatically, shouldn't even be a question. We got to get runs.
We have the middle of our order. It doesn't matter.
The middle of the order
has the middle of the order is. What's
the
it mean?
Is brutal. You got Morrell, 200. Swanson, 215.
Swanson, first of all, has been hitting the ball really hard. He's been hitting a lot of hard line drives. If you watch his at bats, just watch him the series in St. Louis. He had a lot of hard line drives.
Morrell was hitting a lot of hard balls about 2 or 3 weeks ago too.
Morrell has no confidence right now.
Anybody on the team's got confidence right now. I mean, you're just hitting the horrible. It's disgusting. It makes me sick.
They're still better than the White Sox.
A lot better than the White Sox. They've got 15 wins.
I told Pete took Daniel this week and. Me and Caden were watching some of the game they were at, and they were up. I said, "Oh, did you?" I said, "You were up 3-0. Did you guys end up winning?" No, they got eight they got five in the eighth. I said, "Oh man."
Tell Cozio next time he goes there, the best thing he can get from there is a milkshake.
They got good milkshakes over there at the
point. $20 for milkshake.
$20,
and they only make, I think, 400 of them a game.
That's really? I'll tell you, that's one thing that park does right. That park's got food. That park's got food. Their food outdoes Wrigley.
I'll never forget that brawl we were at, too. That was a major benches clearing brawl with Big Larry Parrish that one time.
That was Detroit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was me, Scrooby, and R.B. Millsap. That's who it was. A big, major, major brawl out there.
Those are the best.
I mean, you even had the bullpen coach. The bullpen coach, Larry Parrish, went out there and cleaned out about three guys.
He was
taking everybody out. Watch it on YouTube. It's like 12 minutes, I think, before they finally got it restored.
And when it gets real chaotic, when people actually start throwing punches.
Oh, Larry Parrish was throwing
some. The best fight I've seen was Bautista Odor.
Oh, man. That wasn't much of a fight. That's called a one-shot.
That knockout. Like better be fights. One punch and it's all over.
Yeah, that was good night. That was good night. All right, we're moving on. All right, we had a big Memorial Day party at the house today. It was mine and Uncle Clint's birthdays, and Uncle Clint's walking up to the house, and I'm thinking, here he comes. Here comes the Dallas banner. And I got to give him his credit. Dallas was a team, even they were hot late in the season. I think they went 11-2 or something coming into the postseason. They got hot, but they were still like a six seed. They were almost a play-in. Like most of the year, Dallas was going to be in that play-in.
They ended at five.
But they were right on the edge of being a play-in team 2 weeks before the end of the season, and then they went off on a big winning streak, and they stayed out of the play-in, which is a big deal because even if you're hot, you can go lose a game out of nowhere in that play-in and be backs against the wall. And then they – well, that don't matter. It's not the way the NBA works. They don't have to beat Denver. It's a game of matchups. The matchup that they have against Minnesota is favoring them big time. They have two big shot makers that are closing out games for them. They're good games. I mean, the games are – here, even though this series is 3-0, games have been good.
And Minnesota's led more of the games than Dallas has.
Actually, the Minnesota-Denver series really wasn't that good. It went seven games, but it was
blowouts.
These have been close games. And when you're in close games and the other team's got Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, two big-time shot makers – who are getting it done, and they're confident right now.
The bottom line right now is Luka and Kyrie are doing what they're supposed to, and Ant-Man and Cat are not. That's pretty much what it comes down to. I mean, Ant-Man, the first two games, his shooting percentage was really, really bad. The third game, he did a little better, but in the fourth quarter, he was pretty much not.
I think he's ran out of gas.
Let me tell you this. In game two, Cat got benched. He was not in foul trouble. He was shooting off. I think it was 4-for-16.
I don't understand. He didn't play the last 8 minutes. He's bombing all those three-pointers out there all the time. He bombs threes like crazy.
He does so many ill-advised things. I've talked about this the last two pods. I said, the guy's one of the dumbest basketball players in the league. He's been in the league a long time. He takes bad shots. He commits bad fouls. And when you're supposed to be one of the top, I don't want to say top players in the league, but a fairly highly rated player in the league.
He should be with Gobert.
I'm sorry. You can't be on the bench when you're not in foul trouble. His coach don't trust him enough to be on the floor in critical moments. And I think what you're seeing out of Minnesota right now is, again, almost like boxing. You know, matchups make fights, and this is a good matchup for the Mavs. They got the more experienced players. They got the more experienced shot makers. Ant has had a great run, but Ant, I think we mentioned, he's like 22 years old. He doesn't have a lot of playoff experience. And a team, you look at a Denver series, and you go, here's how he's successful, and you take a guy like Jason Kidd, who's really looking like he knows what he's doing. Jason Kidd says, here's how we're going to defend this guy. And it could change everything. I mean, that's how you make adjustments. That's how Bill Belichick could change things at halftime and change a game.
It's hard to find a guy like Doncic, though, because he can pass good, he can shoot good, and he can shoot from any position, anywhere you put him, he can get the ball up and make a shot. I mean, Doncic is a – I know you guys are not high on him. That guy's a special player. I mean, he can do anything from anywhere.
I'm actually high on him as a player. He just drives me nuts. I've mentioned it, the barking. He's constantly complaining. And it looks – for some reason, I have this thing where it bothers me when guys don't look like they're in shape. And I got to give Luka credit. He is in shape. He's playing 40-plus minutes a game. He's staying out there. But he looks blocky to me. He looks like a refrigerator. I don't know how he moves so well.
Joe's the Joker, though. The Joker don't look like he's in a good shape either.
I know that, but if you actually trace – Joker's career, Joker has lost a lot of weight. When you look when Joker first came into the league, he was bigger.
He was sleeping when he got drafted.
It doesn't surprise me about the Joker, but he actually got more leaned out, where I feel like Luka is gaining weight. He looks bigger to me every season, but they're saying that it's ultimately working to his advantage the way that you've seen LeBron James get bigger over the years. Like, it's just harder to handle him, and he's hard to handle. I mean, Luka gets a guy off him, steps back, hits a shot, and he's got this way about him. I'm super impressed by him. He drives me nuts, but I'm super impressed by him. He drives into the lane, 5 seconds left on the shot clock. You think you got him kind of trapped, and then he does a kick out pass, guy wide open, bang.
Even like the guy on ESPN said today, even if you defend him perfectly and you play perfect defense on him, he still knows how to get a shot off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that guy, that Alexander, who's pestering him? He's knocking the ball away, everything. It's like he can knock it away, but he can't quite steal it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Luka still gets the ball.
He's a big body. He can do everything.
He still manages to get to his spots on the floor. And I think we've all known, right? Luka is is kind of the perfect fit for Kyrie here, because Kyrie can't be a one. Kyrie proved it. He couldn't be one in Cleveland. He couldn't be one in Boston. He couldn't be one in Brooklyn.
He's
a perfect number two. And he's
Kyrie's
playing
get booed in Boston.
And Kyrie's motivated right now. Kyrie's playing defense.
Is he the only guy left with a championship?
Let's think about that. I would say no. Drew Holiday has a championship.
Oh yeah, with Milwaukee.
He won in Milwaukee. Okay. And that's the one that jumps to my mind. And then I'd have to go deeper down the rosters to try to figure out if somebody else picked one up.
He's the most experienced player in the playoffs right now.
Oh yeah,
Kyrie's the most experienced guy.
Yeah, Kyrie's got a lot, and it does make a difference. I mean, you look at, like I say, you talk about Luka, how multidimensional he is. Ant is not that yet. You know what I mean? And you see, like, Ant's got games where he's not driving to the hole. He's not taking shots in the lane. He's taking all three-pointers. That's not Ant's game.
But, I mean, in a couple, two of these first three games, Dallas has had, like, I mean, Minnesota's had, like, six guys in double figures.
Yeah.
And they're still getting beat.
They're a deep team. And these are close games. That's why I say, right now, what they're seeing is you're seeing clutch time. You're seeing – you all right over there?
Yeah.
Caden tore his hand up with his bat or something earlier. But you're seeing what clutch points, clutch time. And it's going to Luka. And here's an interesting thing about game two, because I didn't even watch last night's game. I was out. But it was Kyrie Irving. It was 107-103. He goes to the line. He missed two free throws. How often do you see Kyrie? Kyrie Irving's like a 90% free throw. He misses two free throws. And you're thinking, oh, man, this looks like Minnesota's game to lose here. They go up the floor. I don't know if they lost the ball or, you know, missed the shot or whatever. Dallas gets the ball back. They drive down. Luka drives down, moved the ball around a couple times, hits Kyrie in the corner, full confidence shoots, hits a three, gets to 107-106. I mean, this is like, this guy hits a full confidence three-point shot
right
after he missed two free throws. I mean, what Kyrie Irving's doing this year, being able to, because I don't think anybody ever questioned how good Luka is. Luka has been considered a top five player in this league now for the better part of 3 years.
One thing I didn't know that Luka was so good. Luka's an amazing passer.
Oh, yeah.
I did not realize that guy was that good of a passer until I started watching. I mean, he makes good passes, good, smart.
He can score the basketball with the best of them, and he can dish the basketball with the best of them. He's a multidimensional player.
And he's a decent rebounder, too. I mean, not great, but he's a decent rebounder, too.
And Kyrie Irving playing, I don't think anywhere. And this goes back to you predicting Dallas. When I said, I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Because I don't think anybody thought Kyrie Irving had this left in him. Nobody thought this. I mean, this is Kyrie Irving literally had 6 years in between looking the way he looks right now. That's unusual for a player to go 5-6 seasons and not look.
That's got to be credit to Jason Kidd for getting that out of him.
Got him motivated.
Kidd got him motivated.
And if we jump to the next series, I mean, we know this is gonna be. You got 2-3-0s right now.
No, you said that game, the Dallas series, gonna go 7.
I thought so, and it still could go deep, but I think
only need to win two games. If Dallas, if Minnesota could win Game 5. Then they'll have a game 6.
Game four. They're down 3-0. They got to win game 4 to survive.
And then game 5 is going to be at.
Then they'd go back to Minnesota.
Dallas wants to close out the
show. This is what I'm saying. I told Kate in this. I said when a team's up 3-0, it works only one way.
154-0. They never lost ever.
Well, right. It works. Actually, Boston came back last year to go to game 7 against Miami.
Correct.
They lost.
That's
so,
right. Yep.
But the way that the game 4 usually works is, if Minnesota can jump on Dallas early, they'll probably win the game, because the team that's up 3-0 a lot of times just says they take their foot off the gas. I've seen that a number of times. You just kind of give away game 4. But if that game stays close, Minnesota's probably going to get tight, and Dallas will probably close it out. So I think that if Minnesota jumps out in that game, I think Dallas will be done.
If you think saying that Dallas and Boston make it.
This is what I'm assuming that. Now, for this conversation.
Let's say that's
our
finals.
Comes down. Yeah.
And these are all tight games. But let's say Dallas and Boston play each other tight. See, I give the advantage to Dallas there because I think they got two big money shot makers at the end of that game that would give Dallas the edge and put them over the top. Not that Boston doesn't, but I just think Luka and Kyrie as a 1-2 punch is going to be too much for any team left in here to handle.
I think they got the shot makers late in the game, guys that can go create with Luka and Kyrie. Boston's interesting. I watch Boston. They don't necessarily impress me. They're kind of a weird team because they're really good. I mean, I'm watching them win games, and I'm going, nope, not impressed. So I can't figure out what's missing with them. But I can tell you that not being a professional NBA analyst, what would scare me the most is just the matchups. I feel like Boston has big two-way players that a lot of other teams don't have. Like Minnesota don't have a Tatum. Tatum's 6'9" and can defend.
Big mouth Chris Canty tomorrow morning telling me how Minnesota was going to get in there and blow Dallas out. He's probably not going to be talking too much tomorrow morning. I'd get up. His mouth would be shut.
He'll be talking, probably 3-0. Apologizing, you know, being down 3-0 like this. And again, those were all – they've been all good games. But like you said, if you're close with Dallas late, you could be in trouble. I mean, because those guys, like I said, Luka and Kyrie have been there. You know, they've done that. They hit big shots. Kyrie hit a huge shot in a game 7 before.
I actually, for Dad's sake, I want Porzingis to come back at full health, and I want Dallas to beat them at full strength, because then then the Boston fans and nobody can make up any excuses.
I think that with Porzingis, Dallas is going to have their hands full. If Porzingis is able to get himself back in the mix, meaning playing meaningful 25-plus minutes a night, it'll be interesting because, Boston has a lot of really good players. I mean, Drew Holiday is an absolutely premier defender. Derek White is phenomenal on defense, and Brown and Tatum are both two-way guys.
They've been to like 3 NBA finals in the last 4 years.
They've been to the Eastern Conference finals every year, and then they've been to only 1 NBA finals. Okay. They've only been to 1 NBA finals, and I think one of Boston's problems is like the fact that they have so many good players, they almost have like a lack of identity. Like if they're in a close game, who's taking a shot for them? You really don't know. Is it going to be Brown? Is it going to be Tatum? And if you're depending on the coach to drop the right play, I got a lot more confidence in Kidd than I do Mazzulla.
I don't like this coach at all.
Mazzulla's got all the talent in the world, and sometimes I feel like he don't know how to use it. They have a lot of sloppy offensive possessions when you watch Boston's games. And again, maybe I'm being overly critical, a team that won 64 games, pretty much walking through the playoffs right now. But even in this playoffs,
the conference is weak. The whole conference is weak.
Even in these playoffs, they've kind of tanked a few games, and you're like, oh, how'd you get lost by 30 to Cleveland?
Indiana's not even that good.
The first game, they were done. Like the first game, Boston was done. They were down 3. Indiana's got the ball with 12 seconds left, and Brown deflects a ball, hits Siakam's fingertips. They get the ball back. Brown hits a game-tying 3 from the corner. And there's a perfect example, right? Most people got Jason. Brown did not make an all-NBA team, not 1, 2, or 3. Tatum, I think, was either first or second team. Tatum's the guy. Tatum's the guy on their team is supposed to be like a top 5, at least top 10 player in the league right now. But that play got drawn up for Brown. I mean, there's a little bit of a disconnect there where you don't know who's taking that shot for them.
My biggest thing I was worried about when Dallas played Minnesota in this series was how well Minnesota matched up against Denver defensively. But after I watched the first game, I seen how Dallas was able to break it down by Doncic bringing the ball up and running the offense not through the post and running the offense through Doncic bringing the ball up. When they ran it through the post like Denver did, Minnesota had time to get all their big guys in position and play better defense. They couldn't do that against Dallas or haven't been able to do that so far.
I think Dallas is going to have a little problem with Boston because I just feel like when you watch Boston, they just play teams like tight, like uptight. And I think they made an adjustment there to Indiana where, you know, maybe you saw in game 1 where Indiana had a lot of success that Boston started, they got a lot of big bodies and they clog up the lanes and they play tight. But also when you look at Dallas, you know, Dallas, they kind of like switch turns between Luka and Kyrie. Like it kind of seems like they even talk about it like, oh yeah, Luka takes the first half, Kyrie takes the second, like whoever's hot, whoever's not. But like it kind of, as Boston, it kind of seems like, you know, they maybe like go to that, like, oh, Luka's hot, let's go adjust to Luka, or Kyrie's hot, let's go adjust to Kyrie. But for the Celtics, I feel like they don't know who's coming. Like it could be everybody. It could be everybody's hot. It could be anybody. who's really firing, and I feel like that's going to concern them.
And I'm not. I've been with Dallas since the beginning of the year, so I'm not going to waver now. I'm not going to change now. I'm going to stick right in there. I mean, they could lose to Boston. Boston's a good team. I just think that the 64 wins that Boston got, had they played in the Western Conference, would have been somewhere down in the low to mid 50s. I just think that they got the 64 wins playing in a soft schedule, a soft conference in the Eastern Conference. I don't think the East is anywhere near as good as the West, and I think Dallas has been way more battle-tested in the playoffs here against these higher-ranking teams. And I'm hoping that that carries over and gets me my Dallas Mavericks World Champion hat when they win.
Well, like I say, styles make fights, you know, and it's going to be hard to know exactly what these Dallas-Boston matchups going to look like till you see it. Like, for example, you know, Kyrie hasn't had to deal with anybody the quality of Drew Holiday, you know, who Drew Holiday is one of the best ball, you know, on-ball defenders in the league. Hasn't seen anything like that, where Kyrie and Drew hasn't seen, you know, had an assignment like that either.
Right.
Kyrie has one of the best layup packages of all time. He's tough to guard.
Sure, and typically Doncic is going to draw the best defender. So, I mean, Kyrie's going to get away with going against the second-best guy most of the time. And is the second best guy going to be? The one thing about Kyrie, like Brad said earlier, is Kyrie could throw up an air ball on one play, give him the ball back, and stick it to you right in your face on the next play. There's not a lot of guys like that left in the playoffs. I mean, you got to have guys that got the killer instinct and ain't afraid to put it in the basket. And Kyrie has showed, especially in this Minnesota series, that he's got it. Dallas right now is clicking on all cylinders. They're playing good basketball.
Yeah, Dallas right now is playing championship level basketball. I'm excited. I mean, I think it's going to be a good finals. I don't think one team. I think the games will be close. I don't think one team's just going to wipe out the other team. And I'm curious to see a lot of these matchups. My feeling on this is, because I haven't been a Dallas backer the whole year, I do think it's going to be Boston here. And I think you're going to see a really good finals out of Jaylen Brown. And I was watching games where Jaylen Brown looked like he didn't know how to dribble. Brown was dribbling the ball off his foot every time he got it.
I think that's the same problem they're going to have again this year.
And they might. I think Jaylen Brown's going to have a huge finals. I like the way he's getting asked questions in the post games and stuff. This guy seems like he's dialed in. Seems like he's got a little chip on his shoulder based on getting left off all NBA. And I think this dude's ready to go off. And again, they are – one thing that Boston's getting the benefit of right now is no team is going to run you faster than the Pacers. You may not think the Pacers got the talent to beat Boston or Dallas or anybody else, but nobody runs the way Indiana runs. These guys run 130-point-a-game pace. They fire the ball up. They got young guys, and they run, and they gun, and they're good at it. This is how the Pacers win games.
The one guy on 670 was saying today, he said Minnesota's just not – geared up enough to score 120 points a game.
No.
He said their offense is just not geared up enough, and Dallas can get there. He said that's the one reason why. Another reason why he felt Dallas had the advantage. But, see, to me, Dallas going in as the underdog against Boston doesn't mean anything to them, because they've been the underdog in pretty much every series they played in the playoffs so far.
Yeah.
From series number one all the way through, and it hasn't affected them not one bit.
I don't think Boston's going to be a heavy, heavy favorite. I really don't. I mean, if you're watching the games and you see Dallas run through a team like Minnesota that everybody thought was – I mean, Minnesota was favored here. I mean, how many times are they going to do it before the bettors start saying, hey, you know, we got to give these guys some credit? I think they're going to get credit here, particularly if you're not seeing a healthy Porzingis. I think Porzingis changes the game.
Yeah, he has a lot of length.
Porzingis changes the game. Porzingis is a 20-plus a game scorer. He's going to grab an extra. He's going to grab 8 to 10 boards for him. Porzingis is an extremely talented offensive player.
If he plays, he's going to be a little hesitant because he doesn't want to get injured.
And what you're going to see with Porzingis is you're going to be able to lessen the minutes of Al Horford, who has played phenomenally, but he's an old man.
Horford's got Al Horford forever.
It's funny how we could say Al Horford's old. I don't know how he's doing it, and he's still younger than LeBron James.
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's amazing. You know what I mean? Horford has been around forever. That's how long LeBron's been around. Right. Horford has been around forever.
He's clutch,
and he hits shots. The last game, I think he had 7 or 8 threes.
Reminds me a lot of Robert Horry.
Yeah, he's got that
Robert Horry made a big shot.
But you can't have Al Horford playing 35 minutes a game. I mean, and that's what he's had to do with Porzingis. So that's going to give him, you know, let him fall into that role player role, which his role player role is grab rebounds, play defense, and hit three or four open threes a game. He shot like 12 threes.
Believe me wanting Dallas to win, I'd much rather play Boston without Porzingis than with him.
Because
Porzingis can score.
He gives them another element, and he gives them some size, too.
But he can score.
And they don't have a ton of size, though, and he gives them some size. When I'm talking about size, I mean, like, you know, who's their big man? You know what I mean?
Minnesota does have size, though, and it doesn't seem to be affecting Dallas at all. I was kind of surprised at that.
I think that this is an opportunity for Tatum to separate. I don't know if he's going to do it. Here's an advantage for Tatum here. Tatum may not need to be a 30-a-game guy in the finals. If Tatum can rough up Luka somehow, just defensively, it could change his career. It could change the trajectory of Jason Tatum, where people are thinking, oh, maybe this is his peak. Tatum's still relatively young. I think he's like 27. He's got a ton of playoff experience. He needs to stick. He could pay himself some major dividends by just doing a good defensive job.
I just watched Doncic just in the playoffs because, again, I don't watch much NBA, but the dude's unguardable.
Dude, Luka was like 34 a game in the regular season.
The guy's unguardable.
I mean, he is.
He can hit from anywhere on the court.
Yeah, you're right. But I think the reason why they're winning is because of X factors and Kyrie. You know what you're going to get.
Well, yeah, Luka, I mean, yeah.
You don't know.
You're pretty much saying, hey, Luka's going to get 30. You know, yeah. Luka was.
And everybody needs help. No one guy could ever win. I mean, even MJ, until he got Pippen and Grant and Rodman and some reinforcements in there.
LeBron couldn't win.
You know what? The two guys that made it to the finals with the absolute worst garbage teams I've ever seen in my life are Allen Iverson and LeBron James. Yeah. The Allen Iverson team with Eric Snow.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah,
he
yeah.
He didn't have much help either, but modern day,
yeah.
Iverson and LeBron had some pretty garbage teams.
They made it. LeBron's 07 team when he was real young, when LeBron was like 22 or 23. He'd only been in the league like 4 years. LeBron made it, and they played the Spurs. I think they got swept. But that was one of the worst finals teams I've ever seen.
And Iverson's team wasn't much better.
Iverson's team
that was pretty hot garbage
that snuck a game against the Lakers, that step-over Ty Lue game.
Yeah.
And that was the only game the Lakers lost in
what
that whole playoff.
The Lakers now having another coach again now? They keep firing their coaches all the time. The coach ain't the problem.
No, the Lakers are a mess. And they, you know, now they're talking about hiring J.J. Redick, and LeBron and J.J. Redick got a podcast I listened to.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're talking about actually hiring J.J. Redick as the coach.
Are you serious?
And LeBron and him are doing a podcast together? It's just weird. I don't get all that.
Usually whoever LeBron wants, they get, so maybe he told him to hire J.J.
And then LeBron says he's got nothing to do with the coaching moves. And LeBron, if I got one criticism of that dude in his career, it's like he's kind of got this passive-aggressive thing where he says he doesn't have anything to do with stuff when you know he's doing it. I mean, it's LeBron. It seems like whatever LeBron wanted Kyrie in L.A., and they wouldn't do it. And LeBron's like, look, this guy, I've done it with this guy before. I'll do it with him again. Do whatever you need to do to get him to L.A., and they wouldn't get him there. They couldn't figure out a way. Because they thought they'd have to give up too much. And LeBron's probably sitting there right now going, I think I told you guys, bring this Kyrie guy in. He's still got enough left in the tank, and he's showing that he does. But he was trying to get Kyrie there as that third piece, and he wasn't able to make it happen.
Last year, Kyrie didn't do anything.
I know. And that's when LeBron thought that you could get him. That's what I'm saying. That's like when people thought Kyrie was a cancer to a team, that would have been the time to get him. How do you think Dallas got him?
Also kind of like a head case.
Do you think
exactly
since kid straightened him out? Do you think it was a lot of to do with kid, or you think it's because he was playing with Doncic and he thought maybe we can do this? What do you think it was with Kyrie that's got him? It's got him dialed back in again.
I would tell you, being coached by one of the best point guards of all time, I would say Jason Kidd is a top 10 all-time point guard. Wouldn't you say? I mean, without me putting down the list, I mean, right away I think of Magic, Isaiah Thomas, and, you know, Steph Curry. Steph's kind of a quasi-point, but, you know, I think of some guys like that. But I would say Kidd, I think, is second all-time in assists. All-time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Kidd's also made a lot of threes. Kidd was like he was kind of like a three-point sniper when you didn't really – you wouldn't have thought he was a great shooter, but he hit a lot of threes as well.
He was a lot better player than he got credit
for. Dude, Kidd, and I know you don't know Kidd, but Kidd was like king of the triple-double before Westbrook. Yeah. You know, kid was a guy that was always getting triple doubles. He wasn't like a big scorer. He would be like, you'd see a stat line on kid like 16 points, 13 assists, 14 rebounds.
Steve Nash, too. And they're like, how does this guy do this? I mean,
Steve Nash was a little guy. Nash was a little dude. Kid was a more big bodied kid. Yeah. You know, and so I think having that type of mentorship where you can have a coach almost with a mentorship, plays the same position, had the handles, came through the pro levels.
How much does coaching have to do with the finals? I mean, how much do you think coaching has to do with whether a team wins or loses?
I think of all the different sports, NBA coaching is the most important. Yeah. It's more important than a baseball manager. It's more important than a football coach. I just think there's not that many guys on the court, and you could see these NBA coaches make adjustments, change games.
You think Dallas has the advantage in that
category? Oh, God. Boston's coach. I'm going to tell you something right now. What's the guy's name from Houston? Adoko? If he was Boston's coach, I would tell you with 100% confidence that Mavericks are done. But with Mazzulla as their coach, the guy that went to Houston, he would have Boston win a title. I would guarantee it. He was a phenomenal coach, dude.
Why'd they get rid of him?
There was a big scandal inside Boston's front office. It was a sexual harassment thing and all this, and they had to cut him loose. But he was – I'm telling you.
Is that the guy from Butler wanted in there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was the coach. When Stevens went out, I don't want to screw up his name, but it's something like that. Oduka, something like that. He's the guy that went in. And then he had him for
How
1 year.
Did he coach him
I think for? He only coached 1 year. And then the second year last year, he was like suspended the whole year or something. Something weird. And then Houston picked him up. Yeah.
You know what? Spoelstra won a championship. I mean, I never really considered him to be
These guys, like the Simmons and those guys, they live and die by Spoelstra. They think he's the best coach in the league. Spoelstra somehow has taken some of these teams. The Heat made the finals against in LeBron's year in the bubble.
It's like this Indiana coach, Rick Carlisle. He's a pretty good coach.
Rick Carlisle's a good coach.
Rick Carlisle's
I
good
like
coach.
Him. Wherever he goes, he wins.
Rick Carlisle's pretty
I
good
like
coach.
Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan I do not like as a coach, like and I've had a chance to see him quite a bit with the Bulls here, and he...
Bulls got a lot of talent, and they don't
Bulls are winning. The Bulls will be
I miss Tibbs. I miss Tibbs.
Haven't been very good. Kid.
Hey, let me tell you right now. No, his predictions are off. They're very emotional, his predictions. I would tell you something right now. People complain about Tibbs. Give me Tibbs all day, man.
Thibodeau's a great guy. These guys
are professional players. I'm not supposed to use them to win the games?
I don't care, man. To me, it's the Bill Parcells of the NBA. He works his guys
to the bone.
Hardcore.
These guys are getting paid millions of dollars.
And you know what, though?
If I need you for 45,
they want to play for Thibodeau.
Oh, they play hard.
They'll jump over the chairs to play for that guy. That's the kind of coach you want.
Hey, the New York Knicks this year won. Let me check the standings here. The New York Knicks won 50. They won 50 games this year.
50.
And they didn't have Randall, who's their second best player, for the vast majority of the season.
He played good.
That if Randall was there with
and
Brunson.
And in the playoffs, didn't they only have like seven guys most of the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. No, they were only playing like seven guys. If you said next year LeBron James could go to one team and try to win a title, what would you think of?
Right? Go to the Knicks.
The Knicks would be the most interesting because it's MSG, LeBron going to New York. He's won a title in Cleveland, Miami, L.A. Go to see if you can get a title in New York. That would be the most interesting. I don't necessarily think it's the best team to go to, but it's definitely the most interesting because if you got Brunson, Randall.
You think LeBron's going to stay in L.A.?
I do, yeah. LeBron going to L.A. I thought when he went there was a terrible decision, and if you look at the actual numbers – of when he went there, the team was really bad when he went there. I mean, they were bad. And they got that bubble title when AD came over, and AD wasn't hurt. He had a really good postseason run with LeBron.
He had a good last year.
So, I mean, I can't say it's not a success when a guy goes to a franchise and wins a title. But I'm telling you, LeBron had other franchises he could have went to within this last six-year run where LeBron could have probably won three more titles.
Whatever happened to Bosh?
Bosh had a blood clotting issue and it ended his career.
The doctors told him
it wasn't safe for him to play anymore. Okay. So he actually had to bow out.
I couldn't remember because he only played like one or two more years after that, and it was like he fell off the face of the earth.
Another interesting spot for LeBron would be OKC. That would be an interesting an interesting spot if you had where you could just pick where to go. OKC would be interesting because really good young players, but don't have it all figured out yet.
What about the Bulls?
The Bulls The Bulls are more than a LeBron away. Let me tell you, the Bulls are more than LeBron away.
What if they have a good draft? They get Jared McCain.
Katie thinks that they're real good.
They said this is the worst NBA draft. They've been predicting this to be the worst NBA draft for like the last 4 years. So
one
this is this one that's coming up.
Who's going to be number one pick?
Bronny.
Sora? This is Sora or something?
Bronny,
he's like a French
Bronny
guy.
Has like a 10%
Bronny chance. Shouldn't be the number one pick.
He had a 10% chance.
Bronny's not going number one. Let me tell you where
he
Bronny's
had a 10%
going.
Chance.
I'm going to tell you where Bronny's going.
Chicago Bulls.
Number 55.
No.
The second round, 55th pick, Los Angeles Lakers. That's where he's going because LeBron ain't leaving, and LeBron wants to play with them, and the draft stinks. I mean, you're not really.
The Lakers don't have a first-round pick?
I'm not sure if they do or not, but I know that they're not taking him with their first-round pick. Dude, he averaged 5 points a game.
Four.
4 points.
You think he's going to go one overall? And
there's
no,
a 10% chance.
DraftKings or one of those, they started a bet on it, and I don't see that.
I don't think I'd be placing any wagers on that.
All right, Caden, we don't know it for sure yet, but we got a pretty good idea that it's going to be Dallas-Boston. What do you got? How many games? And who's winning it?
Boston 4.
I knew he would do this. First of all, he had Minnesota sweeping Dallas, which I knew was going to happen. Now he still thinks it's going 7. They're down 3-0. So I agree with you. His predictions are awful. How many games do you – I know you got Dallas. How many games do you think?
I think if Boston does not hit Porzingis, I think it's a 5-game series. Wrap it up. Sew it up. Dallas wins at 5. I think if they got Porzingis – you guys been laughing and doubting Dallas this whole entire time.
You've been laughing. I'm laughing.
They just keep right on rolling.
I am laughing. Hey, man, with this version of Kyrie and Luka doing what he does, I mean, if you're going to get 60 a game from your top two guys.
Luka really had like a true like test. Well, I don't feel like Minnesota's already achieved. Like, they're not playing. I don't really think they're playing.
Well, they went through – who did you go to? They went through the Clippers.
The Clippers were
kind of a mess.
One of the best defenders in basketball, Kawhi.
Kawhi did not play, though. Kawhi missed, like
– that whole series?
He played, like, the first game, and then he missed 3 games.
Well, he's always injured.
Kawhi's always injured. When, you're right, though. I 100% agree. Kawhi Leonard is one of the best defenders of all time. When you talk about a small forward guard, I mean, LeBron had to deal with him when Kawhi was like in his prime years in San Antonio. When he didn't have to score on that team, he was a handful, man. Kawhi was tough. So, no. Then they went – where did they go their second round? Dallas. Who did they play?
OKC.
No, that was – I thought – was that right?
Yeah.
They went right to OKC? Let me see.
OKC, they're too young.
Yeah, but no. Let's see. All right, so you had the Mavericks over the Thunder.
They
won that
4-2.
You're right. That is just the other round. Then they had the Clippers. They won 4-2. So they lost 2 games to the Clippers. The Timberwolves swept the Suns and then beat the Nuggets in 7. And the Mavericks are the 5 seed. You're right. So you're looking at, and then Boston went through. I think we just talked about Boston.
Went through the Cleveland, Heat. Cleveland without Donovan Mitchell, the Heat without Jimmy Buckets, and Indiana without Halliburton.
4-1 against the Heat, 4-1 against the Cavs, and now they're probably due 4-1 or 4-0 here against the Pacers. They're up 58-55 at the half. So they're up, and that's really low scoring for the Pacers, only 55 at the half. They're usually up 65-70.
Boston plays big defense, they do.
They do. They got a good defensive team, but man, they're Jekyll and Hyde. That's what scares me. I would tell you, if Boston plays the way that I know they can play, I think they win it. I'm going to go Boston in 6 games would be my prediction because I know Porzingis is going to play. I don't know how effective he's going to be. He will be back. He had that calf injury. Those calf injuries are normally 3 to 5 weeks.
Is how long will he be back before he goes down again?
Right.
This guy's always been injured his whole career.
That calf could easily – like when you got a calf like that, he could be in and out. Easy, he could go down again. So you could see him go down.
From what I've been watching,
I think Derek Lively's going to rough him up, though.
Luka and Kyrie are just too much right now.
Right. Brown and Tatum are better. I feel like Brown and Tatum are better than Luka and Kyrie.
Here's what I think. I think that
more game,
if I rank the players in that series, I go
Tatum, Brown.
I go Luka, Tatum.
No, Tatum's better than Luka.
No chance.
No. I go Luka over Tatum right now.
Luka can do anything he wants.
Then I'll be honest. I love Kyrie, but I do put Brown in front of Kyrie. I do just
See,
because.
I don't. Only reason I don't is because Kyrie is big money. Kyrie hits shots when the game's on the line.
And Brown plays.
But Kyrie has also shown some mental deficiencies the last few years. Again, he might be different now. He's been showing up this postseason. But again, I'm talking about if I'm picking a team, I do want Brown because he's a two-way guy. He's more athletic. He's just, I mean, he's bigger. He's, you know, he's stronger. He's just a, you know, and those guys, here's something people are forgetting about Tatum and Brown. They always play. People forget that. Tatum and Brown are always in the game. They don't get injured. They play all the time. Say what you want about them. Those dudes are there. They're always there. So, again, you could go, if you put those two together, that's not where my problem is for Dallas. My problem becomes after that. Because I think Boston's got, after those four, I think Boston's got the clear best players after that point with Derek White, who I think is extremely underrated, Porzingis, and Drew Holiday. I don't know that I put anybody at Dallas ahead of those three guys, but maybe if those guys continue to play the way they've been playing, like a P.J. Brown or what's the other guy?
P.J.
Washington.
P.J. Washington. I don't know. There was a P.J. Brown back in the day.
Played for the Bulls.
Yeah, that's right. P.J. Brown. P.J. Washington.
Oh, he was the center.
And there's another guy in Dallas that's been playing pretty good.
He got kicked in the head. I can't think of what the guy's name is.
What the heck's the guy's name? Anderson? Is it Anderson? They got another guy.
That's the Timberwolves.
I can't think of his name. What the heck? Minnesota.
Lively.
No, not that's Derek, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't his name Lively?
That ain't the guy was sticking up. This guy got hurt.
Jones. It's Jones. No, D. Jones. They got Gafford. Their starting line is P.J. Washington, Jones, Gafford, Irving, Doncic. And then they got Green played 25 minutes. Lively played 9. Lively didn't play that many minutes in this particular game.
What was the score yesterday?
116-107. But it was a 104-104 game. And Dallas fell, or I mean, Minnesota fell apart there. So, you know, like I said, my opinion is after you go through those four, none of these guys to me are ahead of Porzingis.
Porzingis to me is just a really soft. God, he's so soft.
I know, but who are you taking? If Porzingis is healthy, you're not taking any of these guys ahead of Porzingis. And then you got Derek White, who is like a out of nowhere, I'll drop 30 on you.
I just don't think Boston can play a complete team game. It just seems like them guys are never all together. They're never on the same page. I just think
that's coaching.
I also feel like Dallas has a chance to fall apart if something doesn't go their way. Nothing really hasn't gone their way, truly.
That might be the first good point you've made all night. I like that. That's true. I mean, they have had things kind of go their way. I mean, they're hitting big shots. They haven't really had their backs against the wall. I think they've been pretty much up in all these series, meaning they grab game one, get some confidence going. If Boston, let's say Boston, they're in the Garden and Boston snags game one or something on them. Now,
what?
You know, huh?
Boston Garden. Boston Gardens.
Boston Garden, dude.
It's one of the most famed.
Oh, he's only thinking, when he thinks Garden, he only thinks it's MSG. No, dude.
Oh, no, the Boston Garden.
I think it's like the TD Garden.
There's more banners hanging from the Boston Garden than any place around.
They get hot. Like I said, they. That's an interesting point by Caden because, again, how will Dallas deal when they're down? When they get down 1-0 in a series or 2-0 in a series, and will they have to face that? Maybe not.
Maybe
they come out hot and get it done.
I don't think that a guy like Doncic or Irving would be affected by that. I just think right now I think those guys are so locked in that it's just going to be hard to beat them. Those guys are locked in and their eye is on the prize, and I just think that they're gonna do what they need to do to get the job.
You know what's going to be important for them? This is the last thing I'll say on this, is that I think it'll be important to finish off this sweep. I think they need that week. I think Luka has a potential with this kind of deep playoff run of getting hurt more than Kyrie, and I think he could use this time off.
He's got the ball in his hand all the time.
Yeah, I think
he could easily get injured.
One second he looks like he's limping, the next second he's winning, hitting the game winner. So I don't know.
It's amazing because, I mean, he literally is point guard for that team. He literally runs the
And he looks like he's limping around out there half the time. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what's going on there. But like I said, I think he could use the rest. I think it'll be big for them to get that extra time if it's not starting until, you said, June 6th.
I think they said June 6th is pretty
So that's like a whole, that'll get a whole week off, basically. Boston will get a whole, basically a whole week off. Because what is it right now, the 28th or something? I mean, I think June 6th is next Thursday, I want to say. So
yeah, tuned in the morning on my radio to hear what Big CC's got to say on the way in the door.
All right, let's close this with a little bit on Bill Walton. Bill Walton
Who's
died
Bill
today.
Walton?
We're going to explain it to
Bill Walton died today, and Bill Walton was, by many, probably considered the greatest. Yeah, but Luke Walton's the greatest college basketball. Many would say Walton is the greatest college basketball player of all time. Some people would say that. When I think of Walton, I think of probably three things come to mind. And that, and it wasn't his NBA career. I mean, Walton did not. Walton was a solid NBA player, but he didn't have a, because he was injured a lot. I think he ended up playing less than 500 NBA games.
He had a couple of titles, though, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Yeah, he was. But when I think of Walton, I think of three things. I think of an NCAA championship game where he went 21 of 22 from the floor. 21 of 22 from the floor in an NCAA championship.
They said that in college that UCLA had won like six or seven NCAA championships in a row with Lou Alcindor first, and then Walton came behind.
Who was Lou Alcindor?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But he was Lou Alcindor, and he didn't change his name until
he was
afterwards,
pro.
Yeah, when he turned pro. So he went to UCLA, and they said that Bill Walton's freshman team was better than Jabbar's varsity team, but you couldn't play as a freshman back then in college. It wasn't allowed.
So Walton was an absolutely dominant player. His career NBA career got cut short, but I always remember seeing this thing when he was on the Celtics. He won one with Bird.
He did, and I think he won another one with the Trailblazers.
I think he did, too. I think that was when he was more effective. He was younger there.
He did squeeze one, I think only one out with Boston.
I always remember him waving this towel. He had this white towel when Larry was Larry. I mean, when Larry was in his prime, man, Bird was unstoppable. And I just remember them showing Walton on the side. He was already old, Walton, and he had the knees were all messed up, and he was over there just waving this white towel for Bird. He had that excitement like he was.
One of the smartest guys, too, like when you're announcing stuff, Walton always knew exactly what was going on.
That was my last piece.
He was an awesome announcer.
His broadcasting, I used to love listening to basketball games that were called by Walton.
Yeah,
he was so
level that was just
so fun, too. He was always joyous. He always had a smile on his face, and he was so happy, and I'll never forget one of my favorite calls that he made. It was a Laker game, and you know, Kobe had missed a couple shots, and they were passing the ball around. Fisher and these guys were dribbling too much, and he goes like this: "What are these guys doing? Give the ball to Shaq!" Like, he just, because he's a center, you know, and he just, and Shaq, obviously, you know, had a time where Shaq was the most dominating player in the league. You would get the ball down to Shaq and get out of his way. He's going to dunk on you. And I just remember him, he had this funny way about him: "What are they doing? Give the ball to Shaq." And he was really funny. Like, he was funny on air.
And then somebody scored like five or six baskets in a row. "This guy's putting together a Hall of Fame career here," he would say. And the guy scored like seven or eight baskets in a row in one game.
He had this, you're right, he had this fun personality. It carried into his personal life where people would say, like, they went to his house and they thought he was going to show them all his NBA trophies and stuff. And he's like, "Come out of the backyard." And he had like a teepee back there. He was like a real weird spiritual, you know, he was into that kind of stuff. And people just said he was the most fun-loving dude. And I'll just tell him to rest in peace, because he was fun to listen to. He was fun to watch play. He was one of the, like I say, one of the best college players of all time, and probably would have been a top pro if it was not for injuries. And he has a family that stayed in basketball. You know, his son Luke played at Arizona, played for the Lake, played pro ball, was on the Lakers for a while. He coached the Lakers for a minute. I'm not sure where he's coaching right now, but I think he's still coaching. And he's got, you know, just that lineage is there. And Bill Walton put a mark on the game for sure. Anybody, anything else? Can you check out some footage on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. I feel like, you know, he was a great coach. And
he wasn't a coach, so misfire on that.
I mean, I feel like he was a great player.
I don't think he was a coach, was he? I don't think he ever. Maybe he coached.
I mean, he just really knew the game of basketball really well, and I just feel like the game would never be the same without him. So.
Not bad. Not bad for not having any idea what you're talking about. We good closing this down tonight, boys? All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Remember to check us out on Spotify and Apple or wherever you get your pods. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great night.